Mayor Daley, sir.
I'd outright that I didn't think any president could submit to that kind of a proposal. And I said, I threw this in. I said, I wonder what you think your brother would say if he was president and someone came to and wanted to make this kind of admission. Now, I said, the president is willing and anxious. He's talking to everyone. He's getting the best advice he can. He's trying to make the best decisions he can, only with the interest of our country in mind and our people in the world. And I said, I feel that I was surprised that I didn't know there was going to be any public confession. I thought that maybe there would be just some kind of a committee appointed that he has anyhow, and that you would have some ideas and that your people would have some ideas of a different way of going at this without saying that everything we've done up to date is wrong. I said, no one could say that. Well, I didn't want all of that. I wanted just a review and an analysis and a reassessment. And, well, I said, they're making the analysis and the review and the reassessment every day. And he said, well, don't you think it was a good idea of this reassessment? I said, well, we all make a reassessment, but I said, I understand that's going on now. The fact that you've got a new Secretary of Defense in Clifford is indication that there's a new Secretary of Defense who will certainly look into all the phases of it. But I said, I just wonder in the, I put this in the Bay of Pigs incident and the all the hullabaloo that was around, whether or not your brother would ever entertain a suggestion at that time to appoint an outside committee to find out what he did. I said he did do that. I said he did it, but he appointed you and some of his people on it. Well, I said, this is what the president has been doing now. I said, I hope you'd give a lot of thought to this thing. I hope you wouldn't just rush into it because of the incident in New Hampshire, because I said, you remember 4 years ago, Lodge won a great victory in New Hampshire. And I said, when it came to the convention and the nomination, he wasn't there. And I said, however, this is a decision you have to make. It's one that you're going to have to do a lot of thinking about, and you should do a lot of soul searching, because it's one that's going to not only affect our party, it's going to affect our country. Well, he was going to try to talk again with his people. Well, if I were making a prediction, I would say that I think he's going to go. I think he's going to go into the California situation.
I believe he is. I believe he's made that decision, and I believe that he wanted to be able to say that he tried his best.
Well, I said, how could that in this kind of a situation with the country in a crisis and the gold standard and everything else, how could a president make a statement on the whole course of this incident in Vietnam being a mistake? That would have to be made by Eisenhower. That would have to be made by your brother, who also endorsed this policy and supported the Eisenhower and Dulles commitment to the South Vietnamese. I said, just looking at it, I said, I don't think anyone could do it. Now, if anyone has any suggestion how the president can do it any differently, he's glad to talk to you or to Teddy or to Sorensen or to anyone in this country. He's talked to John Smith or any fella on the street. If the fella has some ideas and new ways and new programs and new methods to try to resolve this and come to the peace table, I said, you don't think the president is interested in a continuation of this, do you? He said, no, I don't, but I think that many of the things that have happened have been wrong. Well, I said, that happens every place, but I said, I don't think there's an American living today and that's in existence that wants to continue this war. Everyone is for a peace, but the answer comes, how do you get it? I said, and I think that what you're doing, a lot of people are interested in using you, and I said, I think you're going to let them do that to you. And I said, now, as to what happens in the future, well, we want to remember that today might be one occasion. And I said, surely the whole Vietnam situation looks pretty bad today. It did in the last couple of weeks, but I said, these things can change. And I said, then what's going to happen? Well, he thinks there should be change in the South Vietnamese government, the corruption and the fact that 10% of the population owns the land and all that. I said, I think the president has all these things in mind. I don't think he's for perpetuating a corrupt government. I don't think he's perpetuating a government in which there's no freedom or liberty. I said, I think the president is just as strong for freedom and liberty in South Vietnam as anyone else. And I think he's just as interested in ending corruption in South Vietnam. But I said, what the hell, he can't do it himself, and he can't do it overnight. And I said, he's trying the best he can. And I said, I just was hoping that in this kind of a situation involving our country, we'd have a lot of unity of our people. We have enough disunity, I said, with outside of our party. And surely we all have a right, and you have a right, and anyone else has a right to go out and assert himself and discuss the issues and debate the issues. This is what America is made of. But I said, I would hope that we could do that in the convention, and we didn't have to do it in these primaries. And I said, hell, you can win all the primary states you might enter into, but still you have to get the delegates in the convention. Well, he was going to talk again last night with his people. But if I were making a prediction, I would think that he has already made this decision, and he was just, although he said this doesn't involve the presidency as far as I'm concerned. I'm very much involved in principle and in conscience. I think that what's happening here is something that's hurting us in the world. It's hurting us at home. It's hurting us every other place. And I'm just anxious and trying to resolve it someplace.
Yes, I agree with all those statements, and I feel him. I expect as much as he does in conscience, and I'm trying now to figure out some way that we can get the Russians a little more active to try to see if they will exert any of their pressures at all, since they're furnishing this equipment, to try to force these people to talk. They can't do it as long as they think they can
win
here in Washington. If our group will just unify and be quiet a few days, we might be able, if this campaign of theirs is not a success, the first one was not, whatever else they say about how bad things have gone for us, they've lost 50,000, and we've lost two or three. Now, that doesn't mean they can't lose that many more, but that does mean that if the next one goes bad, they are trying very hard to get in a position to negotiate, and they want to negotiate from strength. And while they're doing that, like Dean Russ told me last night, he said 75% of my time must be taken here at home before I even look to the Pacific or the Atlantic. I have to spend my time trying to defend and explain and answer and so forth to my own people. Then that gives me 25% to try to work on these other things. I said, well, now the one thing we've got to work on, we've got to find some way to see if we can't get the Soviet to come in here and agree with us that they will carry out the treaty that they signed in 62, the agreement on Laos, and will assume the responsibilities that they agreed with President Kennedy they would, which they never did do, and which is the basis for all this trouble. If they would do that, and we could get them interested and they'd quit putting all this equipment in. We could quit putting it in. We could de-escalate. Now, they run all these scare stories in the paper, the New York Times, which is the root of all this trouble. And they've scared the people that we're going to call up a 500,000 people, and we're sending 200,000 out there and so forth. Now, I don't know what will happen. We may send 2 million. No one can tell in this lightning age. I couldn't tell yesterday morning that last night we'd have to close the gold exchange, but we lost over $500 million yesterday, and we went legally below because the Senate just sat up there and played politics. They're talking about all this damn politics and how they're going to get rid of the president when they ought to be acting on their bills. They talk about the cities. God damn it, I've got $22 billion up there for the cities they haven't touched. They haven't even had a hearing on them.
I talked to him about that. I said, when you talk about the cities, I said, you must admit that no one has done more for the city than the present man occupying the White House. Now, I said, Granny, all of us recognize the old story, you haven't done enough. But I said, hell, he's having trouble and had trouble with the Congress and passing what he's even proposing. Now, it's one thing to talk about billions of dollars. It's another thing to show someone where you're going to get it.
I got $300 million last year for the cities. This year I asked for $1 billion. They haven't even given me a hearing on it. They won't even hear my man.
And I don't think they'll give it to you. I think they're intentionally crippling you and whippling it away. But what you have to do, though, Mr. President, may I suggest, if this continues, I think the thing of staying out of it has to be re-evaluated and reconsidered.
Yeah.
Because, you see, the people have to get your story.
Yes.
Just like you're saying here.
Yes.
They don't get it if these other people keep saying, well, we've got to do, the cities are on fire, and there's this big crucial revolution at home. What are they doing? But no one is telling them about the amount of money that you've put into the cities and the amount of money you have up there for the model cities, the fact that it took them 2 or 3 months to get the rodent program through. When you ask for this kind of money for the city, all of these things have to be brought forward because they just say we're living in such an age people forget from one day to another what's happening.
That's right, and I've got to take you and Dick Hughes and John Connolly and a few of you and just have a good solid wall, which I think we will have. I'll get Humphrey.
You've got to have an offense, too. There's no use in just sitting and letting people chew that.
All right.
We've got to lay out an offense and go ahead and carry out our offense.
All right, we'll do that, Dick.
I'll be in touch with you, Mr. President.
Thank
good luck to you.
Thank you, Dick.